This is Abnormal Entertainment.
Going to the movie theater gets expensive, but with MoviePass, you can see unlimited movies for only $30 a month. There are no blackouts. You can see anything on opening day as many times as you want throughout the month. You can go 3 times a day if you want. It doesn't matter. It costs the same, $30 a month. And if you head to abnormalentertainment.com, click on the MoviePass banner, you get your first month for free. Try it out. If you don't like it, cancel it. But you will love it for $30 a month. Unlimited movies with MoviePass and Abnormal Entertainment.
All right, you're listening to Masterpiece Theater, and we have a new pod short that we are starting up for 2017. That pod short is, this is Handsome Jay, and I guess I'll just call this the Comic Book Corner. So typically, we've been, and when I say we, I mean Mass Blogster and myself, more Mass Blogster than I, we've been reviewing comic books by typing them up, by writing them, and then putting in pictures, so you can kind of see what particularly about the issue that we enjoyed visually. But we read so much, and we were talking over the holiday break, that we're literally reading more than we're able to write about. So why not just do these pod shorts and allow you guys to kind of get a little bit more into what we're reading on a regular basis? And if you're reading them, go ahead and comment below as to what you thought about each issue. And then if you aren't reading them, maybe by the end of these little pod shorts for the Comic Book Corner, you'll have new items to put in your box at your local comic book shop. And we hope you are shopping at your local comic book shop too, by the way. We are not. So shop local. Shop local, people. Don't order these online. So the first issue that I'm going to review on this pod short is going to be Scarlet Witch, issue number 13. Now, I'm going to be honest, I started reading Scarlet Witch because I didn't really know much about Scarlet Witch as a main character, outside of stuff like House of M, you know, and just some of those other stories that she's been kind of prevalent in. And when Marvel announced that they were going to do their first ever Scarlet Witch solo series, I was in. I've been reading all of the issues so far. It's been a really fun story, definitely challenging at times because it is dealing with the arts and magic and everything like that. But consistently, the art itself has been phenomenal in every issue. And the stories themselves, she's been kind of going through this almost detective-like character while also being the Scarlet Witch. So issue number 13 picks up, and Scarlet Witch is still on the road, the Witch's Road, with the ghost of Agatha. And the writer on this is James Robinson. The artist is Jonathan Marks Beravecchia. I hope I didn't ruin that. Color artist is Rochelle Rosenberg. Letterer VC's Corey Petit. And the cover artist was David Aja. So a lot of great talent to start. When you first open up this issue, you see there's a new villain called Kroll. And his first line is, "Kneel, you glowing curs, kneel before the might of I, Kroll." So already it's this giant demonic beast who clearly has set his sights on destroying these curious looking fellows that we meet in the next couple pages. Some surprising stuff happens towards the end of page 3. And then we meet Scarlet Witch and Agatha on the Witch's Road, and the journey continues. There's a lot of back and forth dialogue about how long they've actually been traveling on the road, what's been happening on the Witch's Road, trying to figure out who's preventing them from getting to the end of this long journey that they're on, and how Scarlet Witch is actually starting to slowly age to near death as she goes through, and she's using all of her magic, trying to figure out why magic is sick and kind of where it's falling away to, similar to Doctor Strange by Jason Aaron, which we'll get into later. But it's been pretty good. The art, again, fantastic. It has a very painted look, which is incredible. I've been really enjoying that. While they're on the walk, they also run into Scarlet Witch's real mother, who was revealed in previous issues, which I'd recommend going back and reading. And there's a little bit of dialogue about what the main antagonist for Scarlet Witch is going to be in this issue. And I like, because I'm such a Doctor Strange fan, I like how they're, she says, your foe is chaos, daughter, bigger and greater than either of them, like eternity or nightmare, an entity of the same size and power. I loved it. Anytime you mention Nightmare, I'm there. He's one of my favorite villains from the Doctor Strange mythology. He's a great character, and I hope he's actually a villain in a movie. Maybe Doctor Strange 2, I don't know. But back to Scarlet Witch. Just a great, great issue when we find out what the foe is, who she's fighting, what she has to overcome to get to the end of the Witch's Road, or what turns out to be the end of part of the Witch's Road. It's just great. And it has a little bit more weight to it. If you've been reading the issues, to see the struggle she's been going through as to why the foe is the foe in this issue, and where the Witch's Road is going to take her going forward. So, I mean, out of, I don't know, let's just say 5 stars, I'd give this probably 3.5. I'm really liking the Scarlet Witch series. There's a lot more dialogue in this one and less detective work than I'm used to. But still, overall, a really fun read, and I definitely recommend it. All right, next up is Scarlet Witch, issue number 14. So we just went through 13, now we're in 14. Writer on this again, James Robinson. Artist is Sean Crystal. Color artist, Chris Brunner. Letterer, again, is VC's Corey Petit. Cover artist, David Aja. This picks up right where the last issue left off, which was great. We see Agatha, Scarlet Witch, and her mother kind of traveling through this new plane of existence where they stumble upon a brand new villain, as far as I can recall, called the Aimless Ones. Now, again, if you're a Doctor Strange fan, you're probably going, wait, Handsome J, don't you mean the Mindless Ones? No, I do mean the Aimless Ones. They even asked that question here in the issue. The Aimless, I know of the Mindless Ones. These aren't. And then it's revealed that these are instruments of chaos, but they have a little bit more awareness than the Mindless Ones. So they're not just, you know, chaotic drones wandering around. These have a little bit more attention, if you will, and alertness to them, which makes them a little bit more formidable. But nevertheless, they do fly past these guys to get on to the main point of this issue, which is the goddess of all witches, and trying to save her so that they can restore magic back to its rightful place. But how do they do it? They have to team up to beat chaos itself, literal chaos, because chaos has literally attacked the goddess of all witches and is stealing her soul. So Agatha, Scarlet Witch, and Scarlet Witch's mother have to take on chaos together. There's a surprising cameo that happens towards the end, right as all hope seems lost. A surprising cameo comes in to help save the day, and it was pretty nice. Again, if you've been reading all these issues, you know how important this cameo is. And I'm not going to spoil it for anybody because I think it's definitely worth the read. And when I flipped the page and saw who the cameo was, I was like, yes, so much yes. So they eventually defeat chaos, but then it comes with a greater cost. And again, if you've been reading this series, you understand the price that goes into the end of this issue, and what it costs Scarlet Witch, but also what it rewards Scarlet Witch with, which is possibly more than it cost her in the end. So she gets a little bit more insight into who actually killed her mother, because she believed it was the High Evolutionary. It turns out it was not the High Evolutionary, and Scarlet Witch and Agatha are both transported back to Earth, back to reality. And there's a nice little back and forth between Agatha and Scarlet Witch as the issue resolves. I actually like this issue a little better than issue 13. So out of 5 stars, I'd probably give this like a 4 and a 4.5. Maybe 4.25, 4.5. This was a really good issue, really solid. Good dialogue, great art. When they're fighting Chaos, everything looks amazing. There's these pinks, reds, and oranges, and these just dynamic, vibrant neon colors of green and blue for Chaos. That it's just, I mean, it looks magnificent. This is the type of stuff that you see, and you could just see it on a wall, just hanging up as art. It's just absolutely beautiful. Very vibrant. The darks are dark. The brights are bright. The neons are very neon. It's absolutely just eye candy for days. I loved it. And even the aimless ones who look like the mindless ones have a very different look. It's unique. You can still, when you look at it, you go, wow, that looks like the mindless ones. But they do look a little different. That's because they are different. Just a really solid issue overall. I really liked it. So definitely pick up issue 14 if you're reading the series. If you aren't, I'd still recommend it. You can still pick up the issue. It pretty much is self-explanatory. It's really good, and the cover art is pretty fantastic. All right, next up, we have Doctor Strange, issue number 15, titled In the Storm of the Eye. I am loving the new Doctor Strange series. It took me a little while to get used to the concept that Doctor Strange is going to be without his magic, as the Empiricule, or however you pronounce them, were kind of going through and just destroying magic on every plane of existence. But the series ended that run nicely, and now we're in this post-magic world where Doctor Strange is trying to survive, and all of his enemies have come back to either torment him or try to kill him. This is written by Jason Aaron. Artist is Chris Bacciello and Jorge Fornes. The inkers are John Livesay, Tim Townsend, Alve, Victor Olazaba, and Jorge Fornes. Colors by Antonio Fabella. Letters by VC's Corey Petit, who also did the letters for both of the Scarlet Witches we just read. And the cover is Kevin Nolan. I just can't get enough of this series. This issue, he is in a taxi cab with a giant orb that is just a giant eyeball. And the eyeball is driving him around in this taxi cab. It's fantastic. The eye turns out to be very important, more important than I realized it was going to be. The tie-in to other Marvel stories in the Marvel universe, a very powerful character in the Marvel universe, and why this eye orb thing is where it is and why it does what it does with a slight twist. It's fantastic. The dialogue in here, the back and forth is great. It's Jason Aaron all the way. There's suffering, there's chaos, there's just craziness, and the philosophy of what's going on with humanity and why certain people need to go and why certain people should stay. And oh man, it's just so good. The art in it is great. It's been pretty consistent through all of the issues so far. We're up to number 15, as I said. This is just pure chaos through and through. Baron Mordu makes an appearance again. Dormammu has taken over a human body, and it looks like he's a sports announcer. It's just ridiculousness and awesomeness until Baron Mordu decides that he's had enough of Dormammu in this form and relieves him of his physical presence. Casting him back to his world while he continues to slaughter people to gain magical power back so that he can use a tracing spell to find Doctor Strange. Then we have another visitor, Mr. Misery, who we were introduced to in previous issues in this series. Mr. Misery, if you aren't familiar, is a character who is derived from the suffering and angst that Doctor Strange had. So anytime Doctor Strange is suffering and there's pain and torment going on with Doctor Strange, Mr. Misery feels it and is imbued, however you say it, with power. It's just such a nice turn as Doctor Strange is facing off with this giant eyeball with Baron Mordu. And then at the very end of the issue, we see that someone makes a grand return in a very grand fashion that only this villain would make. And it's not really a surprise when you see who he's already faced up against in previous issues after the Imperial. He's already faced off Nightmare. He's already faced off Santana, the Devil's Daughter. He's already faced off some of Baron Mordu once before. Now he's with the Eye. He's with Mr. Misery. Baron Mordu's back. So the villain at the very end wasn't really surprising, but the way they drew it is fantastic. It takes up the whole damn page. I loved it. And I am very excited for issue number 16 next month. So if you haven't been reading Jason Aaron's run on Doctor Strange, I recommend going back and starting with issue 1 and just going forward all the way into the current 15. I believe you can get them on Marvel Unlimited for the first couple issues, but definitely worth checking out. It's such a fun series, especially if you like Doctor Strange. This is a brand new take on him, and you get to see a little bit more of the physical aspects of Doctor Strange with still that same type of philosophical Middle Eastern mentality, or not Middle Eastern, Eastern philosophies of life and the powers and the balance. It's just great. It's absolutely great. So definitely recommend Doctor Strange. I will definitely give this one probably 4.25 again, 4.5. There's some weaknesses, maybe even a 4.75. It's close to perfect for me this month because there's just so much in it and the art looks great. And towards the end of it, Doctor Strange facing off against so many different villains with a fourth villain making their appearance. It's just, it's just great. Just great. Just great. So check it out. Doctor Strange, written by Jason Aaron. All right. Next up is The Uncanny Inhumans issue number 16, which is written by Charles Soule, penciled by R.B. Silva. Inker is Adriana Di Benedetto. Colorist Hava Tartaglia, sorry for that. And letters is by VC Clayton Cowles, and the cover is by Jeff Deckel. All right, so this issue picks up immediately where issue number 15 ends, which is the reader bringing someone back to life. The person he brings back to life is a character named Orin, who was killed by Black Bolt, and now she's kind of freaking out trying to figure out why she's alive and what's going on. She feels like there's parts of her that are missing, and it actually causes her physical pain knowing that aspects of who she is are no longer there. Her twin daughters, Tresta and Arella, have no clue why the issue is the way it is, and they're with Frank, who also is trying to figure it out, but he knows there's going to be a problem that he'll probably have to solve with some type of physical force later on. The only one who really seems to know what's going on is the reader. He is trying to warn everybody, but it doesn't seem to work. He only has so many reads he can do in a day, so when Frank gets injured and he has to heal him, that's two reads that day, so he only has enough power to do one more. So he's a little cautious about that. He does end up saving Frank, and then they go off to find Orin, who is trying to figure out where she's at, not just physically at that moment, like, where am I, but also what time, what year. She's completely clueless, and then she discovers that she is in a place called the Quiet Room, which is run by Black Bolt, and she is desperately trying to find Black Bolt to figure out why she was brought back to life and also to get revenge on being killed by him. She runs into Flagman, who informs her that since she's new, there are rules about the Quiet Room. A battle begins there, and then she is eventually brought into direct conflict with Black Bolt. Before she gets into that direct contact with Black Bolt, though, Reader does let us, the readers, know. Reader lets us, the readers, know. That's weird. I should probably word that better. Anyway, the reader lets us, as readers, know that Orin is only brought back based off of what he can actually read. So he didn't get the whole story to her life. And then the Orin actually kind of fills in some of the blanks there with her daughters as well, that the story that the reader got was just from interviews that they conducted and from their own personal memories, etc. And so Orin knows now that she's not a whole person. She's only part of the story that they provided the reader, and the reader brought her to life. It ends with the confrontation with Black Bolt. And it's a surprise twist ending that made me raise an eyebrow and go, ooh, the next issue could be pretty good. So I'm excited to read that and share that with you. For this one, I would say probably, this is probably one of the more dramatic and dynamic issues of the Uncanny Inhumans so far in the series. We'll give it a 4. We'll give it 4 out of 5 stars. All right, next up we have the Uncanny Inhumans, number 17, picking right up where we left off. This issue is written by Charles Soule again. Penciler Arby Silva, Adriano Di Benedetto is the inker. Jave Tartaglia and Andrew Crossley are the colorist. VC Clayton Cowles is the letter. Again, the cover artist is Jeff Deckel. This issue picks up right where the last one leaves off, and we find out that Orin has somehow managed to steal Black Bolt's voice, and now Black Bolt can actually talk. He tries to explain to her how she's going to stay quiet while he leaves leaves her in the care of Flagman, as well as her daughters, and he rushes off to find help while Flagman uses his flags to actually subdue Orin and also muffle and cover her mouth to the best of his ability. So we find out that Black Bolt rushes off to New Adelan, and he is working with Medusa on trying to figure out who can actually help them as they try to get his voice back, or get his voice back at all, but at least just get it away from Orin so she doesn't destroy everything, including the planet. And it turns out that there is someone who can help, and that someone turns out to be Sterilin. Sterilin puts her in like this paralysis state where he can communicate with her through the mind. He figures out that there are parts missing to her because of what the reader was able to do, and he can make her whole, but they don't know who she's going to turn into once that happens. Also, we find out that there is a catch to the whole thing as far as what will happen to Black Bolt, and the decision that Black Bolt has to make as king and leader of the Inhumans, whether he is on the throne or not, and what sacrifice he'll have to make if they actually go through with it, and what his choice is by the end of the issue. Overall, really good. It ties everything up nicely. It just ends with just a brief conversation between the twins and Orin. And the next issue we should see a little bit more with Maximus, because he hasn't really been around for the last couple issues, but I'm looking forward to seeing what he brings to the table in Uncanny Inhumans issue number 18 next time. Overall, I would give this one probably 3.5, maybe 3.75, just because of the very ending with Black Bolt and just kind of realizing now 17 issues in what this could cost and what his actual demeanor is and what his thought process is as a leader, as a king, and as Black Bolt. So enjoying it. I know the Inhumans isn't for everybody, but I've been enjoying the Inhumans run. So I'd still recommend it. All right. So that pretty much wraps up Comic Book Corner here with Masterpiece Theater. Thanks again for listening. This is Handsome Jay. So before I sign off, I just want to let everybody know that if you're listening to this and you enjoyed what you heard, go on to iTunes and give us a rating. Also leave some comments, because that actually helps people who are in the same kind of mindset as you and I and everybody here in the Masterpiece Theater family. It helps them find us so that they can actually get involved with comic book reading, movies, TV shows, everything that we cover on the main podcast. And then now these new pod shorts that we may be diving into more and more as the year progresses. We'll see kind of how it goes and what everybody's schedule is. But I hope you enjoyed this first pod short for the Comic Book Corner with Masterpiece Theater. Stay tuned for more pod shorts along the same lines. I've got other stuff. I've got After Death Book 2 to read. I've got stuff by Image, DC, Rebirth, titles. Also the new James Bond series that Warren Ellis is writing. So there's plenty more reading to do. This was just what I did tonight, so I hope you enjoyed the issues that I read tonight and my brief summary on those issues. If you're reading them, go ahead and leave a comment below and let us know what you thought about the issues themselves or about my commentary on them. And if you haven't read them and you enjoyed what you heard, definitely support local business. Go to your local comic book shop, pick those up, and then let them know Masterpiece Theater sent you. And really try and let's help build this community by supporting local, supporting artists, supporting art and comic books. Thanks again for listening to Masterpiece Theater. This is Handsome Jay with the Comic Book Corner, Pod Short, issue number 1. Have a great night. Happy New Year.
There was a man with a gun in his hand. Yeah, smoke just filled his nose. Wearing a smile from the death of a child while blood splattered his clothes. One single tear from the man standing near is just what had to be done. Not just a game, but escape from the pain. He killed his only son. Just do it now, take care of me. I'm all you have, now set me free. Now, mommy dear, set down your drink, and don't you lay your hands on me. You've never been that good to me. Thank God I had my daddy. To be, but by the age of his early teens, one small lump altered everything. What was this about master plans? As he lay his head onto his hands, it was said, what's done is done. Shattered family with 3 minus 1.
Subscribe and download back episodes of Masterpiece Theater at abnormalentertainment.com/masterpiecetheater. Search Masterpiece Theater on Facebook. Email MaskBlogster at maskblogster@gmail.com. And don't forget to hashtag tweet your tits at MaskedBlogster. And for more podcasts, books, comics, blogs, and videos, head to abnormalentertainment.com.
You've been listening to the Abnormal Entertainment Network.